Good morning. It's good to be back with you after a little bit of a break last week. I hope you all had a wonderful week, a wonderful spring break, even if you did nothing but hang around your house. I'm glad to be back after a week of kind of unplugging and getting away. So it's good to be back with you now. Today, we're going to read Paul's letter to Philemon. We're going to read the whole thing. It's only 25 verses. It's a fairly short letter. You could kind of break it down, but I think it's best to do it all at once. So we'll read the entire book of Philemon today, starting with verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Alphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always thank my God because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive of all the good we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. For this reason, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, and I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I am appealing to you on behalf of my child, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me, so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed may be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps it is for this reason he was separated from you for a while, that you may have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but now how much more to you, both in flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing to this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing about you owing me even your own self. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I am writing you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. One more thing. Prepare a guest room for me. I am hoping through your prayers to be restored to you. Ephraeus, my fellow prisoner in Christ, sends greeting to you. As to Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Okay, let's talk about what's happening here, big picture, and then delve into some smaller things. Philemon is a letter that Paul writes to a leader in the church, and scholars think Philemon may be a bishop because it talks here, it says, verse 1 says, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to Alphia, our sister Principius, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. So, quite often in the Bible, the person who had the church in their home was the leader. So it's we don't know for sure, but it's a fairly good chance that Philemon was the bishop slash pastor slash elder of this church that met there. And so Paul, if you remember Paul's letters, what does Paul always start off doing? Saying, I, Paul, an apostle. How often in Paul's letters do we see him defending his apostleship, defending his authority, saying, I'm an apostle, you can trust me. The reason why Paul's doing that is because typically he's trying to settle a theological dispute or rebuke some heresy or teach the church. So Paul comes in to referee big issues, showing his authority. Hey, you can listen to me on this matter of theology because I'm an apostle. You can trust me in mediating this difference in your church because I'm an apostle. This is not a big letter. This is Paul writing a fellow church leader and basically asking for a favor. Now he says, I could demand, I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty. Paul says, listen, I can force you to do this, but I'm not. I appeal to you on the basis of love. I do this as an old man and now also as a prisoner of Christ. So Paul, this is a very personal letter. This is not Paul showing some type of authority, but it's Paul coming very personally. Now, what you're trying to do? Onesimus is a... There is some debate. I've read a lot on this today. There's some debate if Onesimus was a slave. There's some scholars who think when you look at the way Paul addresses it, particularly towards the end, it seems as though he may not be a slave, but the consensus is that Onesimus was a slave. He was a slave, and the consensus thought is that Onesimus was a slave who perhaps even stole from Philemon, because he says, Verse 18, if he has wronged you anyway or owes you anything, charge it to my account. So it's in theoretically possible that Onesimus was a slave who stole from Philemon, then ran away. He came into contact with Paul. We aren't sure how, but two general thoughts. One is that he just happened to be in prison with Paul. You know, Paul wrote this letter while he was in jail in Caesarea Maritima. He wrote this while he was on the way to Rome soon. So it's possible Onesimus was just in jail with Paul. That's one thing. And the other thing is that perhaps Onesimus heard Paul being mentioned by Philemon, and he came to seek him out when he was in trouble. Irregardless of why, we see that Onesimus now is a Christian. And there's this really neat, in the Greek wordplay, his Onesimus is translated useful. Verse 11 says, for now he was useless to you, but now he is indeed both useful to you and to me. And there's something interesting that he has been transformed. For once he was of no use to you, but now look at who he is. He is now useful to you. Why? He's useful in Christ Jesus. So this is really a letter of spiritual transformation. This individual was a slave, apparently did something wrong, but now because of Paul's ministry and Paul's work, he has met Jesus, and now Paul regards him as a child, and he tells Philemon, he is your brother. So we now see God creating this new spiritual family out of these individuals. And this verse, this passage, this book here has been used at past to defend slavery. And I understand the slave language and the slave reality here, but it shows the difference between slavery in the Roman world and the American world, because at one point, tradition holds that Onesimus was freed and returned to Paul and eventually rises to become a bishop in the church there in Colossae. It was the tradition teaching. So he's now sent back to Philemon to be not just a slave, but to be a brother in Christ. And that's the radical nature of the gospel. As Paul writes, in Christ, there's neither male nor female, slave nor free, Greek nor Jew, for all one in Christ. And these earthly labels, these earthly things that we apply to ourselves break down in Christ. Doesn't matter if you're male or female, if you're white or black, you're Greek or Jew, slave or free. We're all one in Christ, y'all. And divisions such as this, are antithetical to the gospel. We're all one in Christ. And let us always remember that. And I love Philemon. Philemon's a book that's always been very precious to me, because when I was a sophomore in college, maybe as a freshman in college, I had to do a devotional somewhere, and I was trying to find the right verse to read. And I read Philemon, and I love it. Verse 6 has always been one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good we may do for Christ Jesus. I think the verse I was reading from said, always be active in sharing your faith so that maybe we may be reminded of what a good thing we have in Christ Jesus. Y'all, the more we share our faith, the more we talk about our faith, the more we are active in sharing our faith for Jesus, the more we're reminded of just how good it is. It makes me think of the old hymn, I love to tell the story, for those who know it best, seem hungry and thirsting to hear it like the rest. When we share Jesus, when we share the good news of Jesus, when we share our story, our testimony, our faith, our life, we're reminded of just what a good thing Jesus is, and how fortunate, how blessed, how amazing it is that we're the sons and daughters of God. Oh, what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the sons and daughters of God, y'all. What a great blessing it is. And when we share that, when we share that, we are reminded of what a good thing we have. And so today, if you feel dead in your faith, if you feel stagnant in your faith, if you feel half alive in your faith, share your faith with somebody, y'all. Be reminded of what a good thing your salvation is. Be reminded of what a great thing Jesus is. When we share our faith, when we are active in sharing our faith in our words, in our service, in our life, and all that we are, we're reminded of what a great thing our faith is. And often our faith diminishes when we do not share it, whenever we keep it to ourselves, whenever we hide our light under a bushel. So The sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good we may do for Christ. You have the chance today, y'all. You have the chance today to do something amazing for Jesus. So go out there and do it. And by amazing, I don't mean change the world. I just mean loving your neighbor. And who knows? If you love your neighbor, that may change the world. Great. Small things become great things. So be faithful. Always be active and share your faith. Always, always, always. Philemon's a neat little book. We could talk a lot more about it. But we see Paul here appealing to love and to relationship. And we see the ability of Christ to overcome all these earthly divisions. So a fun book. We could spend a lot of time on this beautiful little book. So, thanks for being with us. This was the last of Paul's pastoral letters. So now we're going to go back to the Old Testament, and I want to walk through some of the minor prophets. These are these smaller books of the prophets in the Old Testament. We're not going to do all of them. We're going to kind of hop around some, but starting tomorrow, we'll start with Joel. So get your Bible out, get ready to go to the Old Testament, and tomorrow we'll work with Joel. So thanks for being with us. I look forward to walking through the Old Testament with you some next. Have a great day.